Well, the word that God is giving us today is Isaiah 63, verse 15 to 17. Chapter 63, verse 15. Look down from heaven and see from your lofty throne, holy and glorious. Where are your zeal and your might? Your tenderness and compassion are withheld from us. But you are our Father. Though Abraham does not know us or Israel acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from of old is your name. Why, O Lord, do you make us wander from your ways and harden our hearts so we do not revere you? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes that are your inheritance. So let's read up to there and go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. God is the God of revelation. God is the God of revelation. God is the God of revelation. With his sovereignty, he reveals himself, and he also hides himself as well. So he reveals himself and he also hides himself. Why? Because he is the one in power. He can do as he wishes. And so because of that, he allows people to harden their hearts so that they do not revere him, so that they may have a heart that does not revere him. And so what we must listen carefully to today is that God never begs or asks from people, but he does according to how he has committed in his heart. So it's like a one-way street. To those whom he will reveal to, he reveals himself. And to those who he hides himself from, he hides. And so if he hides himself to not reveal himself to them, he can harden their heart, and he also causes those he hardens their hearts so that they do not revere him. But those who have a heart like a child, he reveals himself to them and allows them to know him. And our faith is, by acknowledging this, it is understanding the mystery that he has revealed to us, the mystery of God, Jesus Christ. So God is saying, if God says, I have a secret, then when people come around to hear, they say, oh, is it Jesus Christ? Is a mystery of God? They may say, oh, they may pass it over, not thinking, not realizing the importance of it. But our faith is knowing that the mystery of God is the revealed Jesus Christ. And so the life of our faith is yearning for the faith of revelation. And even at this moment, having the heart, we have to listen to the word with the heart of reverence and heart of yearning so that we can receive the faith of revelation. Because if we don't, then we have no hope. Our faith is the faith of revelation. Christianity is the faith of revelation. And so if the spirit of revelation does not work in us, then we can never have this faith. And so we have to yearn so that the faith of the spirit of revelation does not cease. And so the spirit of revelation, we have to yearn for it so that the spirit of revelation does not cease. And so in order to do that, in order for him to not take away, seize the spirit of revelation, we have to purify ourselves. Just as Jesus purified himself, we have to purify our thoughts, our hearts, our actions, our words, so that the revelation of God does not cease. And so with fear and trembling, we have to live such a life. And not only that, but to those who know the mystery of God, we have to speak the words we must in order to reveal the mystery of God. And so we are hearing about the righteous and revelation today. And it's only by faith, by receiving the blood of Jesus, we have become made righteous. But in order to become a true righteous one, we have to know the revelation of God. And so we call our faith of revelation. But when we talk about revelation, when people speak about things, unrevealed things, we don't call it revelation. But to those who, religious people desire a revelation from a higher being. And so they might go in order to rid themselves of their desires of the flesh, desires of the world. And if they empty themselves, then they think that they will receive a revelation. And so they say that there's about 108 things that they have to empty themselves of. When they get rid of one, all of them one by one, then they believe that a higher being will give them a revelation. And so they put a lot of effort to empty themselves. But the Bible tells us to know God. Because God, he does not desire sacrifice, but he desires for us to acknowledge. God does not desire for sacrifice, a burnt offerings, but he wants us to know him. And so if you want to be a Christian, if you want to believe in Jesus and go to heaven, then the basic foundation that we need to have is to know God. Why do we need to know him? Because we can have eternal life. And so in John chapter 17, it says eternal life is knowing, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So we have to know. And so the God of the Creator God and his Son Jesus Christ, it is not knowing each of them individually, but it is knowing that the Creator God has come in the form of a man, and knowing the work that the Son has done. That is what eternal life is. And so do you desire eternal life? Why do you want eternal life? You are so greedy. You're so greedy because all elderly people, they want to live until the end. But if you don't have eternal life, what's the other end? It's hell. So there is no middle area. It's either have eternal life or go to hell. And so we have to know God. And so when God revealed himself in different stages, he revealed himself in different stages. The first revelation was, we call it natural revelation. The first revelation, he showed it to us through nature, and we call it the revelation, the law of nature. And so the word nature, people use this word nature, but what nature means in the scripture means that the Creator shows himself, reveals himself through the creation. And so he has allowed us to know. It says in Romans, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so men are without excuse. It's Romans 1:20. And so since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities has been clearly seen. And so when us Christians see all the creation, we don't call it nature, we call it creation. And so if you believe in this, you believe in the Creator, and you have received the spirit of revelation. See, I have received the spirit of revelation. And so many people, ridiculous people, say that they have received revelation. And so people, they tremble and they say that they have received revelation. And so they think that those are symptoms of being having received revelation, but that is not it. Because if we have truly received the revelation that God has given us in the first stage, then we have to say that I am a creation, that I have received the faith of the spirit of revelation. And the second stage is special revelation. The latter, he has shown us more clearly. How he showed us was through the Son, through the Son. And so to those who believe in the natural revelation, that first, that God is the creator, that I am a creation, so the revelation that he shows to those who believe in this is the Son. So to those who do not believe in the creator and who do not believe in creation, to say that they believe in Jesus, that is false. Because you cannot surpass the first stage and believe the second. And more we realize how important this is. And so if you're nurturing the Sunday school children, if you are raising them, or if you're the Sunday school teacher, what you have to absolutely embed in the mind of the young children is that I am a creation. And the second that comes after that is that we have to know that we are creation, so that we can know the latter, that we are creation, and that Jesus is a creator, is a savior. And so because God had the plan to reveal to us in these stages, in the Garden of Eden, he allowed them to hear only his voice. But when the time came, God spoke to Abraham. And to Abraham, God said that I will make you the father of many nations. And so Abraham, he went following after the words of Jehovah. He has never seen God before, but he followed after the voice of the Lord. And so he went towards the land that God commanded. And so at first, he followed after the word that God had given him. And when God saw him, God thought, I will reveal him to himself. I will reveal myself to him. In the second stage, in Genesis chapter 18, it says, the Lord appeared to Abraham. And so when Abraham looked up and saw, he saw three men standing nearby. And among the three men, two men went towards Sodom. So two men left towards Sodom. It's in Genesis chapter 18. And when we go to chapter 19, the two angels arrived at Sodom. And so among the three men, two men went to Sodom, but it says they were two angels. And so who was the one who stayed behind and stayed with Abraham? It was Jehovah. And who is Jehovah? He was not manned. He came in the appearance of an angel, of a man, but he was an angel who came in the name of Jehovah. And so as an ancestor of faith, Abraham saw Jehovah, but it was not God, but it was the angel who came in the name of Jehovah. And so there are many stories that explain how God revealed himself, not his own image, but he sent angels who came in the name of Jehovah. And so there are many scenes that show this. When Moses was in the desert, when he saw the burning bush, he went toward it. It says that there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire within a bush. And so the angel, when it says there the angel of the Lord appeared to him, in Korean it sounds like a lot, it sounds like the same word as lion, but it does not mean lion. It means an angel, the messenger of the Lord, of Jehovah. So the angel appeared and called Moses over, and he said he will send Moses to Egypt to bring my people out. And so the angel of Jehovah and God. So even the one that they called God, it was Jehovah. The one who called Moses over and sent him to Egypt was an angel of Jehovah. And so no matter how whatever famous person there were in the Bible, the one who they saw was an angel of Jehovah. And so Moses said, reveal yourself to me, let me see you. But Jehovah said, there is none who can live after seeing my face. And so Jehovah only showed his back to Moses. And so when you look at the face of a person, you can tell whether that's a person or that's an animal. And so God only showed that there is God, but even to Moses, God didn't show the details of himself. And so God commanded Moses and led the Israelites out of Egypt. And when they arrived in the desert, he confessed that God said that now you will understand that I am he who called you out. And so they went through the Exodus of Egypt, and when they passed through the Red Sea, and when they arrived in the desert, he said to them, now you realize who I am. You came here not because of Moses, but because of what? Because of Jehovah. Because Jehovah led and he worked and he led them, they are there in the desert. God said that I kill and I also save. And I am the God who heals. It says in Deuteronomy. And so to those whom God wants to reveal himself, he reveals himself. But to those he does not want to reveal himself to, there even no matter how crazy some may act asking God to reveal himself to them, he does not reveal to them. So there are a lot of monks who shave their heads, and there's people who give sacrifices saying, reveal yourself to me. But those are all religions. But God said that I am the God who saves and who kills. I'm doing it with my sovereignty. So just because you call me, just because you ask me, I am not one who will answer you or reveal myself to you. But you must come when I call you, and when I say to die, you need to die. And he revealed that they must act according to the way he has commanded. And so the Israelites received the commands of God, and they received the faith of revelation. It was the very first revelation of faith. So I say that it is the first, the elementary faith, because there will be those who will receive the secondary. So they were like little children who just acknowledged the existence of their father, but they didn't know anything in detail. And so God said to them, I will give you the commandments, I will give you the law, and if you keep them, I will keep my covenant with you. If you keep the commandments, then I will keep my covenant with you. If you do not keep the commandments, then I will wipe out my covenant that I made with you. And so he said, know your God, that the Lord your God is Jehovah. So God planted this in them over and over again. And even though God planted this in them, as time passed, because they heard the same word from God, they started ignoring it, not putting much thought to it. And so, for example, there was the King Saul. And so when he first became the king of Jerusalem, he thought to himself, oh, I became the king, not Jehovah. And so maybe he was probably moved that he became the king, but he started to not listen to God. And so the Philistines started to come surrounding him. And so he thought to himself, oh, look, it seems like we're all going to die. And so what he did was he went to ask of the Lord, of Jehovah. And so he usually did not ask Jehovah what he must do, but he went to ask Jehovah what he must do. He did not answer through visions or through dreams or through prophecies. And so he became very urgent because he thought that Jehovah would speak to him, give him some kind of promise or give him a response. But because he became very desperate, he went to seek a seer. And so he went to the house of a woman who was a seer. And because she heard that the king came to meet with her, she was very surprised. And so he said, tell me what prophecy you have, what he must do. And so she told him. And so it was a very shocking story of what happened. Because of what Saul did, him and all his soldiers, they were all put to death. So he did not ask the one who he should have asked, and he did not receive revelation from the one who he needed to receive revelation from, and so he was completely wiped out. And so there was this very unfortunate thing, event that had happened. And so God continued to warn the Israelites, telling them to turn back from your ways. So whether there was Job and through many other, through the words in Proverbs, God taught them of how they must act. And so he let them know of what they must do in serving God, but they did not turn back from their ways. So whether it was the high priest or whoever it was, they did not turn back from the ways, but they became worse and worse. And so the reason why in Isaiah chapter 20, it says that Jehovah poured on them. So today, there's no one who is falling asleep today. So God, it says that God poured on them a spirit that gave them deep sleep. And so so some people who fall asleep, they might say, oh no, I didn't fall asleep, I heard everything. But once we start to close our eyes, once our eyelids start to come down, it's over. And so just like that, the people of the nation of Israel, they had to follow according to the way, the stages that God, that Jehovah laid down. And they were the chosen nation. And through many events and through many prophecies, God showed who he was and what he would do. But because they rejected him, he poured on them the spirit of deep sleep. Just like the people who, as soon as sermons start, they bow down their head and say, good night, hello, goodbye. And so in our church, no one falls asleep. But the problem is that no one actually listens. It's like we have two eyelids. So whenever a chicken falls asleep, I'm not sure whether their eyelids fall down or come up from the bottom. So have you ever seen them? When they fall asleep, their eyelids don't come down, but it goes up from the bottom. So for us, even though our eyelids are open, it's as if we do not hear anything. And even though our ears are open, it's as if it's closed. Who is the one who causes this? It is God. God is the one who makes it so that they are closed. When we say we have the faith of revelation, that spirit of the spirit of revelation has to fall on us so that we may have the faith of revelation. And so what we read in Isaiah 6, chapter 63, it connects to what we are talking about in verse 15. Look down from heaven and see your lofty throne, holy and glorious. Where are your zeal and your might? Your tenderness and compassion are withheld from us. And so they feel this despair. And so the one who feels this despair, what they still thought was in verse 16, but you are our father, though Abraham does not know us or Israel acknowledge us. You, O Lord, are our father, our redeemer from of old is your name. And so you are our father. You will not abandon us, but you will save us. And so through the prophet, God revealed this heart. And so there was the period of the dark ages, the dark time where there were no prophets. There were no prophecies. There were no warnings. And it was as if there was no God, as if he had nothing to do with the nation of Israel anymore. There was this time of complete silence. And so they became very nervous and they thought, what must we do so that we can receive the prophecy of Jehovah once again? And so they were filled with fear. And so during that moment, someone appeared from the wilderness, the one who came out of the wilderness. And so he had clothed me with camel hair and he ate locusts and honey. And so they thought he was some crazy person, but the words that he spoke that drove them crazy was that he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." He said, "The one who comes after me is greater." John said, "The one who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me, and that he is not worthy to even carry the thongs of his sandals." And so the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the revelation of God, they were nervous because they couldn't receive the revelation of God. And so for 400 years, there was no one. There was no prophecy, but all of a sudden, some man appeared in the wilderness and he said to repent. And so they thought, oh, is this a prophet? And they ran out into the wilderness to hear him. And so there were Pharisees and Sadducees, all of them, they came who didn't even realize what they need to repent of. John said to them, "You brood of vipers, if you truly think of me as a prophet, then you need to know that the one who is greater than I, who will reveal it, he is coming." And so Jesus came, and Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." He said, "If you destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." And in the temple of Jerusalem, it had the name of Jehovah. And so it had the name of Jehovah, but he is the God who appeared in what way? He appeared through angels who came in the name of Jehovah. And so it is the name Jehovah, it is the name that the angels brought. And that name was in the temple of Jerusalem. And so Jesus said, "Destroy this temple." And when the time came, since the time came, now the time where he reveals by bringing his name through the angels is over. But now God himself has revealed himself. Let's look at John chapter 1. So we have to understand this. It doesn't matter whether you're a deacon or not. If you don't understand this, if you don't wish to understand this, then you might as well give up. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So before eternity was the Word, the Word. What did I say the Word is? The Word means. What is the meaning of the Word? It is the self-manifestation of God. It is the self-revelation. It is the it's God's self-revelation. And so he called himself the Word when he had the plan to reveal himself. And that plan was before eternity, before creation, before eternity, before there was any creation. He planned to reveal himself and come as the Word come as flesh. In verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And so God came in flesh. He came in flesh and made his dwelling among people, among us. Not only made his dwelling among us, but he came as man. The Word became flesh. God became flesh. The one who was from when there was nothing. We read in Isaiah chapter 63 that the Word who was before all creation, he appeared as who? As the Redeemer. The Lord is our Father. It says, you are, in Isaiah, it said, you are our Father, our Redeemer from of old is your name. You are our Redeemer, our Savior. So he had the plan to reveal to us as the Redeemer before creation, And so he, as a Redeemer, by giving his life and by giving his blood, he made the object who would receive his redemption. They are the people. And so Adam sinned, and in order to pay for the price of sin, it would be Adam and all the souls of mankind in Adam, all the souls of mankind in Adam, so all mankind would go to hell. But God came as flesh, came in flesh. So the revelation of God was finally revealed in reality. Who could believe in this? And so they couldn't believe in this. And so from that moment, when he said, destroy this temple. So if they are to destroy the temple that had the name of Jehovah, the name Jehovah that the angels brought, if they are to destroy it, then he will raise it up again, the temple of his body. And when I raise it again, then the revelation that God desires to reveal to you, you will completely see it. So everyone understands it, right? You seem very affectionate to me when you understand. So when children understand what you're saying, they look so loving. So just like that. But if you're thinking of something else, or thinking, oh, I know all this already, they don't listen. And so if you have that kind of heart, then it's completely useless. So just like the finale of the scenes are important, our end is important. And so God, Jesus called and brought out his disciples. And what in Mark chapter 4, verse 11, Jesus said, I have called you. He said, the secret of kingdom of God has been given to me, but to those, so he revealed the secret of the kingdom of God to them. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. So Jesus said to those who have, who are of no use from, who have no use from hearing what he had said, he said to those on the outside, everything is said in the parables. So for me, I'm not saying parables, but I am trying to make it understandable to you. But when Jesus said, if Jesus spoke to me in parables, it is complete despair, because then I cannot understand. And so Jesus, he blocked it off from those who didn't have the ears to hear. He said, the secret of kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. And so because of that, Jesus called them his friends. In John chapter 15, let's look. In verse 14, chapter 15, verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And again, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. And so the word that Jesus said was, I no longer call you servants, but you are my friends. So what is it good being friends? Because you could do, if you're friends, you can say whatever you want. So to teachers, you have to be careful of what you say. But if you're friends, you just say whatever you want to say, and there's no secret between you and your friend. And so if a child is acting strange and you ask questions and they avoid you, and they avoid speaking to you, then who do they need to meet? They need to meet their friend. And when they meet their friend, they'll say everything. And so just like that, Jesus said, I tell you everything. What I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. And so God is the what kind of God? God is the God of revelation. God is the God of revelation. And his revelation, he has shown it to us through the creation of the world. And so from the creation, Jesus is saying, now I will show them all to you, and I have chosen you and called you out. So Jesus said, You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. You did not choose me. So what did I say? What kind of relationship is our friends? There is no secret. You know everything. And so Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And Jesus spoke. He chose how many disciples? He chose 12 disciples. But did all those 12 become his disciples? No. One fell off because he sold Jesus off and he committed suicide. And so Judas Iscariot, he was not a failure of a disciple of Jesus, but Jesus said he was only a tool to fulfill the prophecy that Jesus spoke, that one of you will betray me. And so when he had the heart, should I sell him off for a few silver coins? When he had that heart, Jesus knew that. And so when our children have a bad thought, we tell them, we scold them, you know, how could you do that? How could you think? And we would try to stop them. But Jesus, he knew the heart of Judas, but he did not stop him. He said, do what you plan to do. And so in the old times in Korea, we kind of have to know, we have to know the old times of Korea, because in the old Korean War days, they used to stir the fire with a poker. They used to have a little fireplace where they would burn sticks so that they can heat up the big stove pot. And so when the fire would start to burn, they would take a little poker. They would take a really, they would take a smooth, sturdy branch. They would put a bunch of branches in there, and the last stick that they would put in is a little poker that they would use to stir up the fire. And so has any one of you, do any of you know this? If you say, I don't know, because I only used a stove burner or gas stove. And so the poker that they throw in is the last one. The poker, the fate of the poker is to be thrown as the last one into the fire. But Judas Iscariot, he was used as a tool in the end. And so Jesus said, I chose you. Let us become disciples that Jesus calls. Let us not become like pokers, a poking stick that is used for his purpose, but let us be his disciples that he uses until the end for his will. And so Jesus saw it all. He hides from the wise, but he reveals to those who have the heart like a child. And so we have to become like children. We have to be pure, innocent, like a little child. And so when to a little child you say, it's hot, or I am your father, they believe it. And so if you say to a little child, this is hot, you're going to burn yourself. And so little children, they get afraid and they don't touch it. And so to a little child, the funny thing is, you take their hand near a stove of hot fire and you tell them it's hot, don't go near it, and they realize, oh, it is hot, and they don't go near. So my nephew, one time I was babysitting my nephew, and I wanted to kind of scare him. And so I made scary faces at him. And when I would make the scary faces, they were so pretty. They were so loving because they would cry whenever I make the scary face. 10 out of 10 times they would cry. And so I would give them candies. And so when God gives us fear, we need to learn to be, we need to know how to fear. And so God is the God, the righteous God. And so our God, who is so perfect, why did he create this hell? So we have to think, why did God create hell? And so it would have been so nice. God would truly have been a child. God would have truly been a God of love if he didn't make hell. But the moment the word hell came out of the mouth of Jesus, it showed that God is the God of righteousness. Because he is the God of righteousness, there needs to be hell, because there need to be those the righteous and judgment, and there needs to be punishment. And so if there is no if there is no one who is righteous, and there is no judgment, and there is no punishment, then God cannot be the God of righteousness. And so Jesus, he explained this in detail to his disciples, and none of them missed what he had said. And all 11 disciples followed after what Jesus did, and they were eventually put to death. And so Jesus revealed all these things to his disciples, and he didn't hide it all from the rest of the people. But during his public life, the Son of Man reveals himself to the world. First, he reveals that he had the authority to forgive sins as he healed the paralyzed man. And second, he showed that he is the one who has been sent from the Father. And third, he showed that he is doing according to the commands of the Father. He revealed this to them. And not only that, but he showed that the Father loves him. And when he was coming close to finishing his work through his public life, he revealed all this to his disciples. And Jesus said, "It is finished." And when he said, "It is finished," the curtains of the temple of Jerusalem was torn. When we say that it was torn, in the temple of Jerusalem, there was a curtain that was in layers. And so when the curtain was torn, it was torn to now reveal the secret of the kingdom of God, the mystery of God. And so the death of Jesus Christ was complete revelation of God. And so Jesus died according to the command of the Father, because he knew that the Father would raise him up again. And so to the devil who thought he was smart on his own and deceiving mankind, and because he deceived mankind, he became the ruler of death, and he would be thrown into the fire of hell. And through the death of Jesus, he atoned for the sins of all mankind. And so he allowed, to those who received the blood of Jesus, he allowed his life to be in them. And he brought back to life the function of their spirit so that they may know God. And so he poured in the ability to know God into their souls. And so Jesus, he resurrected in 3 days. And it says that He was raised up into heaven before all those who, the believers who were seeing him. And so he revealed. And so he sent the Holy Spirit after a few days, and he sent the Holy Spirit to the believers. And the reason why the Holy Spirit came was so that they may know the mystery of God. And so, because I have believed in Jesus and I received the blood of Jesus, I have become righteous. Can you say that now I know everything? I know everything. And so you become righteous by believing, by receiving and accepting the redemption of Jesus through the blood of Jesus. And so when the Holy Spirit came, so that we may know the mystery of God. In Romans chapter 16, verse 3-6, it says that what was hidden has now been revealed to all nations, so that they may submit. So that is what the revelation of the mystery is. That is so that all nations may submit to him, so that all nations may believe and submit. So say amen if you believe that Jesus Christ is the mystery of God. If you believe in this, then you need to submit. You need to submit to Jesus Christ. And so God sent the Holy Spirit so that we may understand more deeply the secret of God. We read in Isaiah chapter 63. When we look in Isaiah chapter 63, what we read before, it says, Why, O Lord, do you make us wander from your ways and harden our hearts? It says that though Abraham does not know us or Israel acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father. So even though Abraham does not know us or Israel acknowledge us, what they're trying to say is that Abraham and his descendants, the descendants of Abraham, we are not the bloodline of Abraham. God had planned to give revelation to them and he called them out, but we have nothing to do with him. And even though Israel does not acknowledge us, why does Israel not acknowledge us? Us in here is talking about the Gentiles. Even though Abraham does not know us and Israel acknowledge us. And so from the beginning of the nation of Israel, Moses appeared, and through Moses the law came. And even though we have nothing to do with God in relation to bloodline or anything, God will still acknowledge us, because it says that you, O Lord, our Father, our Redeemer from of old is your name. And so God is our Father. And so through Isaiah chapter 63, what we read, we can see that we have to cry out asking him to return to us. And so we see a lot in the news right now in Israel, the Hamas and the Palestinians, the wars that they are having. And so it's not the war between the Jews and the Palestinians, but it is the problem that they cannot resolve is greater than the problem of territory, but it is a problem that has to do with their religion. And so they are not able to find a resolution. And so we have to think a little about Islam and who they are the descendants of, is that they are the descendants of Abraham. And so when we think of the son of Abraham, we think of Isaac, but who's the other son who came before Isaac? It was Ishmael. And what the Muslims think is that they think that the first son of Abraham, he is the heir of Abraham, and he is the one who received the revelation of Abraham, of God. And so the Muslims, Ishmael, who was born through Hagar, and Esau, Esau with Jacob, as they were separated, they think that as they were separated off from Abraham, they've been united and they made that Israel, and they believe in the one God. And they say that they believe in this one God, but what is different? What is different from their religion and our faith is that they don't believe in the original sin through Adam, that he disobeyed the commandment of God. And so because they absolutely do not believe that all mankind have come to have the fate of going to hell because of Adam's sin, so they think that they do not go to hell because of the sin of Adam, but they believe in the five books of Moses, and they believe in the Psalms. And so they acknowledge the five books of Moses and Psalms and some of the books in Gospel, but because they don't believe in the original sin, and they think Jesus Christ as simply a prophet. There were prophets of God. There was Moses. There were Abraham. And so because Jesus received the revelation, he is another prophet, and they think that the last prophet is Muhammad. And so because they don't acknowledge the original sin, and they don't speak of the punishment that follows, and because they don't, perhaps maybe because they don't believe in that, they don't believe in the cross of Jesus. What is the event that happened at the cross of Jesus? It was the It was the redemption of all mankind. The prophet that that Isaiah spoke, Jesus fulfilled it, that he came as the redeemer of all mankind. They don't believe in the cross of they don't believe in the death of Jesus on the cross of on the cross, and so they also don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And so their last prophet that appeared was Muhammad. So they believe in this ridiculous ridiculous things, and what they believe is that they believe that God is one, that there is only one God, monotheistic God. And so they stress this one God, but they don't know the name of this God. And so that's why they call it Allah, because Allah means God. And so they say, how can you know the name of God, the one and only God, and call on the name of God? And so they say Allah. And so I'm not sure if they say, if you don't believe in Jesus, you will go to hell. But what is the purpose of us believing in Jesus? Because it is because if we don't go to heaven, if we don't have eternal life, then we will face eternal death. And so our faith is, if we take even a step back, if I am deceived following after the lies, deceptions of demons and unclean spirits, then your spirit of revelation starts to cut off. And even if you may cry out, God does not pour in on us the spirit of revelation. So we have to hear the word of God. And when we decide on our faith, then the spirit of God will come down on us. But if I do not listen, then God will take away. How he will take even what we had. He will take away even the small faith that we used to have. And so why do some people, once they were like, hallelujah, they were filled with the spirit, but now they deny? It is because the spirit of God has been taken away. And so Islam, so they say, when I first believed in Jesus, the nation of Islam, they had over 1,500 million people, but they say that that land has the people multiplied the fastest. And so you've seen the people, they put the bombs on their bodies and commit suicide. And so they implant their thoughts even to little children. Starting from when they are little children, they plant in hatred, and they teach them that they must give themselves even through suicide bombing. And so the heart of this conflict that they had since the beginning, the conflict that they had, that they have with the Islam, we're not sure how this will end. We don't know how it will end, but there were many prophecies that in the end of times, there will be great wars in the Middle East. And so what's important is that how I came to believe. It says in the Bible, it speaks of how people were listening to the preaching of Paul, and there was this woman who feared God. And so when we say you have a reverence, you fear God, it doesn't mean you fear him like you fear a monster, but they have God saw that this person had a heart of reverence toward God. And so when this woman was here listening to the word of Paul, God moved her heart. God moved her heart, opened her heart, and helped her to, allowed her to hear the word of God. And so because she had this heart to revere God, and she was listening to the word through that was being preached through Paul, God opened her heart so that she could receive God's word. God opened up her ears. And so is the word of God coming into your ears as well? You say, oh, because I'm so smart, I usually understand and I remember very well. Is that so? Or no, that's not how we hear, but it is the revelation is the God of revelation. When we try to listen, when we try to believe, he opens up our heart and opens up our ears so that we can, that word can come into us and give us understanding. And so we have to pray that this spirit of revelation does not cease. So if I sin, I need to repent with fear and trembling. So why do we have to confess of all of our sins and of all our wrongdoings? It is because we are fearful, because God has seen everything. If we do not have the heart of reverence, a heart of fear of reverence, then we do not repent. But because God sees all things with fear and trembling, we have to go before him, because we don't know whether we will go to hell or receive punishment. And so when one who repents with fear and trembling, God will open up their heart and open up their ears, and that word will come in us and become word of life. And so if I have received the spirit of revelation, then I cannot stay still. The word that I must speak, what is it? It is becoming a witness of Jesus, speaking the words that I must speak. Even the elder groups. So don't think that you just come with your bodies and you listen to the word and it's over. But we have to testify, and we have to speak this word, whether it's your older cousins, relatives, or when you go to a daycare center, you have to speak to them. You have to believe in Jesus. If you don't, then you will go to hell. Jesus, the Son of God, we have to receive his blood to be forgiven of our sins. You have to speak that word, because that is the word that we have heard. Why do we have to speak this word? Because just as he poured out the manna on them daily, we have to receive the spirit of revelation daily. Because if we don't receive the spirit of revelation, then it's over. And so I never knew that I could understand the Bible to this extent. So I had no interest in religion. I had no interest in philosophy. I just enjoyed culturally things that were nice. I was very emotional, and I only sought those things, and I lived having pleasure in those things. But somehow I became ill, and through that illness, I heard the word, the truth. And when I accepted the truth, when I understood the word, and because I experienced the truth in this body, I was completely healed of all illnesses. And when I opened my eyes, I realized the truth is Jesus and the truth is God and the word is the truth. And so when I realized this, I started reading the Bible to try to find out. And so when I think back on it, tears come to my eyes. So back then, they had really huge transmitters. So we didn't have walkers to play the cassette tapes in, but I had a whole huge, like a stereo. And so I would connect a bunch of wires to record. And so I would carry it around on buses and listen to it. And as I listened to it, I would laugh, whatever the pastor said. And when this pastor spoke a word of grace, I would shed tears. And so I miss those words, because whenever I heard the sermons, everything fit together. And so how could the truth be so precious like this? And so as I continued such a lifestyle, everything started to come into sight. And so I can, even today, I can confidently say that I have received the spirit of revelation. Let us all receive the spirit of revelation. Because even if you attend a theological school for 4 years, there's so many who don't understand. They don't understand and they don't know Jesus. They don't know Jesus. They don't know why Jesus was sent. They think that Jesus came because of love. It is not because of love, but because in order to give glory to the Father, and that is why he died. And as he completed that work, he condemned the devil, and he also redeemed all mankind. He fulfilled all of these three things, and there are so many people who don't know this. And so how God allowed me to understand the Bible so deeply as this, I'm so grateful. And when I pray that when I preach the sermon, pour on me the spirit of revelation as you pour down manna. And so I go out in fear and trembling, and I repent in case I do it the wrong way. And so what I can confidently say is that there will be no retirement for me. And so I don't think there's anyone who retire. There are many people in different churches who wish other pastors and other people to retire. And so Pastor Joe says, she says, what happens if when you're gone? But for me, I'm so joyful because I speak whatever I wish to speak. Even at this age, I don't think about what others might think, but very confidently and very boldly, with strength, I speak. Because even me, I can see, I can tell what others are thinking or are feeling. And so people come to me and say, they worry about the health of the pastor. They worry about it because they worry about it, not because they love me so, but because they need to receive this word of revelation. So the word of revelation, it has to be refreshed. It has to be new in me. It has to give impact to my spirit. And so I spoke last time as well. So the witnesses in Luke 1, it says that they are the witnesses. They are witnesses of the word, the witnesses of what happened, the witnesses of the word that was in the beginning. And so I cannot deny this. I am a witness. I am a witness of, we are eyewitnesses. So there's no process of becoming a witness, but somehow you become a witness by seeing an event happening. But we are witnesses of the truth. The innocent Son of God, sinners put him to death, and I am a witness of that event. So how could I believe this to this extent? The fact that Jesus died on the cross with my sins, I am a witness of this. So a witness does not have a stage where they prepare, but it is only by grace. By grace you were called, by grace you were healed, by grace you have experienced. And so witnesses an eyewitness is a witness of the truth. And so you cannot add or take away, but you have to speak as is. And so even to this day, I'm trying to speak the word as is, not taking away or adding on to anything, but I am giving my all in order to speak it as is. So another word for the witness, a witness is a martyr, because they are killed for what they see. And so the way that God revealed himself, and the fact that those who have witnessed Jesus resurrecting, we cannot keep our lips closed. So in Korea, there are a lot of mutt dogs in Korea. In the past days, there were a lot of feces in the streets, and dogs would go around licking them. And so this dog was a mutt, was like a little dog in the streets that were licking the feces in the streets. But this dog returns to the home, and when a burglar comes, that dog cries out. The dog barks, trying to scare the intruder, and they bite the intruder. And so some intruders, there were a lot of intruders would kill the dog with knives, stabbing it. And so it's like me, I had no preparation, I have no qualification, but I am still a witness. I am the one who has witnessed the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I believe as one who has witnessed it directly. And let me proclaim loudly, like the dog that barks. so that on the day our Lord Jesus Christ returns, that as his witness, as a witness that has become his friend, let me go into the air to meet him. Let us yearn and yearn and yearn for the word and the spirit of revelation, so that we can receive this spirit of revelation and keep this faith of revelation, so that on the day our Lord Jesus Christ returns in the air, that when he completely reveals himself to us, let us all become witnesses. So with religiosity, there are people who are committing suicide, and there are those who are giving all their lives to fight, and there are millions, thousands of people who are supporting them, people who have hatred, who are fighting with hatred in their hearts. This is the kind of world we are living in. On this day as well, the blood of Jesus is in me and the Holy Spirit is in me. And through me, have mercy on me. You are our Father and you are a Redeemer from the days of old. Let there be none who were left behind, but let us all be redeemed so that we can go to the Father's house. Please pour in us the spirit of revelation. Let us pray earnestly and with sincerity.